Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Grand Rising and Better Love. You are listening to the Truth to Power show. I'm Beverly, and tonight we have Eddie Rodriguez, and we're spotlighting on Puerto Rican salsa and Latin jazz artists. Thanks to Eddie Rodriguez, he is bringing us this great music here. How are you doing this evening, Eddie Rodriguez? From Puerto Rico. Do you have your mute on? We are live. Okay. We might be having some technical difficulties here. And I am going to continue to play the music. And Eddie Rodriguez is going to come on and tell us about the artist and give us the information on the music. And so let's go here. Let's see. Oh, Eddie, I think your line is opening now. Eddie Rodriguez?
Yeah. Good evening, Beverly.
How are you
doing? Pleasure to be on.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, always a pleasure to hear your voice and be with you, to join you on your Block Talk radio show. To Power every Thursday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 to 8 Pacific Time, and 10 to 12 Atlantic Standard Time. I'm coming to you live from Puerto Rico on my iPhone. I have no professional microphone. This is a show that we do as a public service. And I want to thank you for inviting me again to join you on this musical conversation between an African-American woman from Detroit and a Puerto Rican from the Bronx who has traveled from the South Bronx to Southern California to South America to the South of France, dealing with Latin music and the music industry in general. So once again, I take great pride in what I do. Tonight we're going to do something that's special. We're going to talk about an art that a lot of people don't realize exists within the tropical Latin salsa music performances and recordings. I'm talking about singers that have that are able to improvise on the spot and create new things, like a modern poet, so to speak, all within the theme of the song. However, creating an improvisational segment that exists, within the recordings or the live performance. Every salsa singer is not a sonero. Sonero, what is a sonero? Well, sonero is a tropical salsa singer that is able to spontaneously and impromptu improvise a section of a song with their own creation of the words that go along and sometimes rhyme, you know, with some key words about within the song. So, you know, the compositions, the arrangements that you hear for Latin dance music, we usually have a segment where they allow the, it's standard to have a segment where the lead vocalist, we're talking about the artist are being recorded that tour the world, and a lot of people, don't realize that we have 500 million Spanish-speaking people on the planet. And so these artists, you may not hear about them in Detroit and, other parts of the USA in particular, or even in the parts of the Caribbean, but definitely the Spanish-speaking islands, in the U.S., the Caribbean, Mexico, obviously, Central and South America, in all of North America, there's a lot of Canadians, there's a lot of Latinos in Canada, and obviously Mexico is also speaking. And then we have all those countries in between. We have, you know, not only in Brazil that has 200 million people, and Spain and the Canary Islands, and you have Portugal, which is, once again, it's Portuguese, you know, in Brazil and Portugal, not Spanish, but it's the same feeling, it's the same flavor of the dance that people love. And, you know, this music has gone as far as Japan and to Korea and Dubai. So, you know, the Latin music industry, is, in particular the salsa music industry that I've been involved with for the last 40 years, has grown in leaps and bounds to the point where the top artists in this business, you know, generate tens of millions of dollars, you know, from their touring and their record sales, music sales, and you know, they're still out there, and they're still, you know, they're out there. Some of them into their 80s, and they're still out there swinging. Some of them into their 90s. So,
wow.
The goal is now is, you know, try to support all the younger tropical salsa artists and try to help them to follow the path that a lot of their people that pioneered, you know, going to different countries and opening up the market for people who love music, who feel it, who love to dance, love the beat. And sometimes in places like Germany or places like Switzerland, you know, they don't speak Spanish in Japan, you know, but they love the music. So, yes, I'm very glad to be with you again tonight, and I hope everyone enjoys our program. Well, the opening theme song, Jumping Symphony Sig, was arranged by the late great king of Latin music, Tito Puente, and Symphony Sig was a jazz radio DJ. There was a jazz version of Jumping the Symphony Sid that he was doing that for years. And then in the 60s, the Latin thing started to grow in terms of English language Latin music. It was called the Boogaloo. And, you know, this was a creation from New York City. And so, you know, but what came after Boogaloo was this salsa music branding and promotions campaign on a global level, but it started all on one show, the Symphony Sid show. Every night after his jazz segment, he would do a Latin segment, and eventually it just turned to a Latin segment of the entire show. But he used to come on late at night, you know, 11 o'clock. And I used to do that program all through junior high school and high school. And, you know, he opened up a lot of doors. You know, he was able to begin what's called the branding of a new genre, which is not really new. It's just the branding of a genre, which is tropical Latin dance music. They used to call it mambo. They used to call it cha-cha. They used to call it rumba. And Jerry Masucci, late Jerry Masucci, and the late great artist, musical director, producer Johnny Pacheco, they started a record label by the name of Fania, F-A-N-I-A. And they started signing young artists and recording them. They had great arrangers and had great sound engineers, recording engineers, mixing engineers, and that was all in the LP, obviously, and the cassette. Then the cassette market. Today we have the, you know, music streaming platforms, and CDs and albums don't sell as they used to, but they started what is now an industry that is a multi-million dollar industry called the Latin Tropical Salsa Music Industry, recognized Grammys and recognized all over the world, and dance studios and professional dancers, even in dance Dancing with the Stars. They have a salsa, dance, for the stars to dance. And so I'm very proud, of being within the behind the scenes of the Latin music industry, and to share some of my travels and some of my experiences with some of the artists that I was honored and blessed to know and to work with, in particular Tito Puente with that opening arrangement now of Company of Symphony Six.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the music, people that don't know who Eddie Rodriguez is, what did you do in the music industry?
Well, my last position in a within a company was as the producer. I was in a record label. I was producing Latin mm-hmm. jazz albums. I didn't start off like that. I started off actually. I knew where my where I was going to be, what I wanted to do in life. It happened in 1975 at Bronx Community College in New York City. And I was the president of the Veterans Association, and we did a fundraiser, to help with a project that we were working on to get extra credits for the veterans for life experience being in the military, which is unique. Any student that was going to get elective, so to speak, to get their degree, was going, taking courses that were really not anything that you would think was going to be used in the future, but they needed those credits. So I was able to propose to the Dean of Academic Studies that the experience of veterans, just being in the military for 2 years or 4 years, was a unique experience that you could only learn being in the military, and that deserved credits, life credits. And we were able to do that without having to do bivouacs and graduation and posters. We had rallies, but and my first concert, when I got on stage, I was the president, to welcome everybody. When I got off that stage, I said, wow, I really love this. The music, obviously, at the end of the concert, you have Machito, a late great, Machito, the 21-piece orchestra with Graciela. We had this great group, Manio Kendo and Libre, and a group that was very popular at the time called Típica 73. And so there's where I caught the bug for Latin music.
Okay.
And
Five
years later, I was working for a radio station. I went to San Francisco from the Bronx, San Francisco, and I had a job offer to work for the railroad. And so I used to travel, from Oakland to Chicago and Oakland to, to L.A. And that was mostly my run, L.A. to Chicago back then. Oakland to Chicago. And then I started working for, a private railroad company, Southern Pacific, and I did that for a few years. But every time I was off, I was working for a radio station. And so I got to be the local retail sales manager. And so I knew that. I learned that side of the industry. And then I got a contract I was working on record labels to buy ads on the radio station. And then those companies were in L.A. One company in particular, which is CBS Records, had a Latin division. So I got my first deal with a record label, and decided after that I was going to relocate to Los Angeles. And then in Los Angeles, what I did was I started doing small events. My first tour was with an artist, a great, incredible artist by the name of Ruben Blades. And so I was able to, get the funding, sell the tickets, the promotion. That's where I started, in L.A. And from there, I just kept doing that. And the years, and then I started working with a Mexican record label called Fonovisa, owned by Televisa. And so I was doing national music marketing of this Mexican recordings. And people don't know that 50% or more of the Hispanic, the U.S. Hispanic market is are consumers of, you know, Mexican heritage. You know, the rest, you know, come mm-hmm. from South America, that, you know, the Caribbean, Europe, you know, Spain, et cetera. You know, but the big money in Latin music was in Mexican regional Mexican music. So, you know, while I was in San Francisco, I also dabbled into producing a show with a great Latin jazz artist by the name of the late great Cal Jader, a vibraphonist from Sweden. And you know, when I left to LA, I started doing the same thing, and I did that for years. And I started doing shows. And I got involved with a television program that was called Bravissimo, and we used to videotape live concerts. And obviously the lyrics were in Spanish, but the host was an English-speaking host. It was on the ABC television network. And, you know, this is in the 80s, and you know, I was green. I didn't know about syndication. I didn't know about sponsorships. And they put me in charge of that. I learned that, and from there I went to work for Billboard magazine. They didn't have the Latin charts at the time. And I was there when they started that, and when they started the Billboard Latin Music Awards in Miami. I would come back and forth to Puerto Rico. I did a special mm-hmm. called Viva Puerto Rico 1 and 2, part 1 and part 2. Looking at the market, you know, record labels, the distributors, CD manufacturers, et cetera, and the artists. So I got my feet wet in that, and from there, I, you know, went back to L.A., and I started working for, I was working, obviously, for Televisa up until the 90s, or close to the 90s. Then I was hired by RMM Records out of New York City, Ralph Mercado, the late, great Latin music promoter, Ralph Mercado, and I started working the L.A. market. I started by alone in a Mexican regional Mexican market. Obviously, from there, I worked for 3 years. I started by myself. Before I left, I had a staff of 5 people, and we were selling a lot of tropical Latin music in L.A., and I was able to get a deal for the label with just the beginning of Universal Music Group. And the owner of the label, Ralph Mercado, decided to relocate me back to New York to handle the Latin jazz label, Copy Jazz. I was able to work with Tito Puente and Eddie Palmieri and Dave Valentin, Dave Hilton Greaves, and remarkable Patito de Rivera, Tito Valdez, Michelle Camilo, and a bunch of other artists, Charlie Sepulveda, that's what I mean. You know, so I was in the recording studio a lot, and obviously promoting these artists until I got a job in Paris for an international music industry trade show. And so I represented them in Latin America, so I traveled to all the Latin American countries and Central America, South America, the Caribbean, and in the USA, you know, the Latin record labels, to get them to participate in a new conference we were launching in Miami, in the Miami Beach Convention Center, called Medium Latin America and Caribbean. So I did that, and after that, I started working with Ralph Mercado again, and right up until that, I have been working as the manager of Tito Puente, because Tito Puente's manager, the late Jack Horowitz, used to manage Tito with Ralph Mercado. And so I called up Tito to, you know, express my condolences, you know, about Jack and et cetera. He was close to Jack, and then said, "Hey, Eddie, you know, I'm going to need somebody in the office." You know, I said, "Oh, well, okay. So what do you think?" And you know, he says, "Well, look, I'd like you to, you know, to be the person to work with me, you know, and you know, I don't have anybody." And I said, "Well, you know, Tito, those are big shoes to fill." He said, "Eddie, I have all confidence in the world." Now, I had met with Tito when he went to France, and we were doing projects together prior to that throughout the years and recording, so he knew me. And and then he said, "You know, Eddie, just talk to Ralph and get it done." So that's what I did. I talked to Ralph Mercado. We signed the contract. I started representing Tito Puente until he passed away. And after that, I decided just to, you know, go at it from 2000 until today on my own. And, you know, in all that time, I've done streaming projects for Mariah Carey. I've done, you know, sponsorship sales, you know, for Mexican, the number one Mexican music event promoter in the U.S., Pedro Zamora from Zamora Live. And up until that, then COVID came, and I haven't been back to work since COVID. I've been in Puerto Rico most of the time. Yeah, that's Eddie Rodriguez. I mean, marketing, promotion, licensing, management, artist development, record, recording, producer, you know, but mostly, you know, doing this, doing something that I love to do, which is involved with great artists, great creative people within the Latin music industry, and producing recordings and producing a live concert so people could enjoy themselves with some great music. So that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? That's a long one. And I'm a dad. I have three children. I got four children, I think. And my wife is, and my mom is still alive. And, you know, she's 100 years old, and I got a brother.
100 years old.
100 years old. So that's pretty much my family, you know. My four kids, my wife, my brother, and my mom, you know. So, yeah, Beverly, how about you? I mean, tell me about you.
Well, I mean, I was married for 40 years, and so I'm just was in real estate and things like that. Just basic, nothing spectacular like you. You was hanging with all the superstars there. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the Latin, Spanish Latin music now with all the, we got a large population of Spanish speaking people that's in America now, more than we've ever had before. So where do you think the market is going?
Well, a lot of these people there that are coming in, you know, from all parts of Latin America, Central America, you know, every country has their own style of music that they're, that is kind of, you can say, their national music. Places like Honduras, they have soca and junta. You know, there's places in Colombia, like Colombia, you know, is known for cumbia. Argentina is known for tango. You know, Mexico is, you know, the ranchera, that, you know, Mexican music, you know, and that has evolved. All those countries have evolved in their music. Now, Puerto Rico has taken the lead in Latin urban with an artist by the name of Bad Bunny. It started in 2002 with a style of music called reggaeton. You had great artists, you know, like Daddy Yankee, Tego Calderon, Ivy Queen, you know, so many others, Wisin Yandel. So many artists. I did two concerts. I produced two concerts in Madison Square Garden, one in 2005, one in 2006, where I was able to bring all these artists to Madison Square Garden, about 12 of these Latin urban reggaeton artists. And we had two, you know, every show was a sold-out show, which was when I took the job to relocate to New York, I thought, you know, I knew that Ralph was doing concerts in Madison Square Garden for 30 years. And that was one of my goals, you know, to do that. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, a lot of these people don't, you know, they don't have disposable income. You know, listening to music and marketing them and things like that, you know. Cultural events, yes. You know, free events, yes. But they, you know, any music that they hear that reminds them of home, you know, they gravitate to. The Puerto Ricans did it. The Mexicans have been, you know, doing it for years. And so, yes, you know, the number one streamed artist in the world on Spotify for 2 years in a row is a Puerto Rican Latin urban artist by the name of Bad Bunny. And so Latin is in, so to speak. And you have some young female artists coming up in the general market urban community, like Ice Spice, Cardi B. These are Latinas, you know, that grew up in, you know, New York. And you have another Latina from Miami by the name of Mariah Angelique. So, you know, Latin is in. I think you're going to hear more Latin, you know, as the years go by. But I think we've had enough talk on Block Talk Radio, and we can get back to some of the music, because we do the show to educate and entertain. And the act of last song we heard was by two artists from Puerto Rico. They're both, you know, gone. One is by the name of Tito Rojas, and the other one was Tito Gomez. That song, Dejala, became like a big hit all over Latin America. I still love that song anytime I hear it. So now we're going to get into some other Puerto Rican artists that past and present, you know, that made their mark in the now multi-million-dollar Latin tropical music industry.
All right, here we go.
Quiero ser Te propongo que regreses sin preguntas ni reproches. No me importa si el amor fue tu equipaje. No me importa tu pasado. Solo quiero tu presente. Te propongo simplemente que seas mi manantial. Escaparnos para siempre. Cuando yo llego. cada día más y más.
Para que suelte a Dorotea.
echan pa' afuera.
Yes, we are listening to Puerto Rican salsa and Latin jazz artists and with Eddie Rodriguez. And Eddie, well, who are those singers and what are they doing today?
Well, some of them, I've had the pleasure to work with them and to know some of them. And in particular, we started off with Puerto Rican Power. They're still around. They tour all over the world. They're from Puerto Rico, and that particular composition, Who Get the Venadia, was a big hit when they were in the, and that song came out in the 80s, actually. And, wow, you know, it's one of their top songs. So we have Puerto Rican Power, and then after that we had Hector Rey. Hector Rey did that song called Te Propongo, which is also a big salsa hit. Now, you can see that the salsa at that time had a different kind of feel to it, but, you know, always with that danceability. Some of the things that were the lyrics that were coming out during that time in the 80s were called, you know, people used to say it was salsa romantica or romantic salsa. It was always about love, a woman, man and a woman. And, you know, once again, you know, the improvisational ability of Hector Rey and, you know, and the lead singer for Puerto Rican Power, you know, if you're able to listen, you know, you see that part where they just start putting words and not really the song, but just kind of like an improvisation segment of the song. So I chose those songs in particular because I felt that that really showed the art of Latin music, not only a salsa singer, but and all salsa singers, but the artistic part of the music, which is in particular that is recognized and respected by people in the industry and the consumers of tropical dance music. So that's why we call them soneros. The sonero mayor, number one sonero from Puerto Rico, was a gentleman, the late great Ismael Rivera. Because of his ability to improvise, at a moment's notice, and not be the same thing all the time, new things, but always, within the beat, and the delivery of the verses was so that, made for that segment of the music people used to look forward to and listen to it, pretty closely and enjoy that. Then we heard Hector Tricoche, the Puerto Rican sonero, who's the late, Hector Tricoche, was also one of those soneros. Periguito Ping Ping was, once again, these are songs that were popular, and again, Hector Tricoche was a sonero, he's not with us anymore. Then after that, we heard the late, great, Frankie Reeves, what a singer. He was a superstar. He's also gone. Some of these artists, once again, they, as much as they were popular and loved by their fans all over the world, their personal lives were not as, did not have that, they did not have the same success in their personal lives. So, these artists, some of them died very young, like a Frankie Reeves, who was a superstar, who today, I think that his career would have been just as important as a Mark Anthony. That's how big he was. He was around before Mark Anthony. And Mark Anthony is the number one tropical salsa music artist in the world. He made tens of millions of dollars from music sales and live concert tours. Then after that, we heard after Frankie Ruiz, we heard Batacumbele. Batacumbele was a group from the 80s that kind of went that real jazzy kind of like instrumental. Once again, Jerry Medina, the lead singer, he's still with us. a great range that he's, you know, that he has. You know, Eddie Palmieri has used him for recordings. The great Eddie Palmieri, his birthday is next month. He's going to be 87 years old, the pianist, producer, composer, songwriter, Eddie Palmieri, band leader. And so Jerry Rivera and that whole group, Hasta Cumbres, you know, they were taking that sound that was coming out of Cuba. At that time, it was called Songo. Today, it's called Timba, T-I-M-B-A. And Timba has turned into a new genre within salsa, subgenre, called Cuban salsa. And the musicians on that last recording that you heard, Hasta Cumbres, the tune was called Hasta Cumbres. That was the name of the group. With some great musicians from Puerto Rico. I mean, obviously, with Jerry Medina on the vocals. Another sonero. I think makes for great dancing music. If you love music and you love to dance and you appreciate art and from all over the world, there's no way that the language can be a barrier to enjoy this music. And that's why I chose that selection to curate this show for you tonight. How did you feel about the music? Did you feel it?
Oh, yeah. You're definitely going to feel this music. You can't sit still. You got to pat your feet or get on the floor and move that energy. There's really a lot of energy, and that's good.
Well, we talk about that frequency, you know, the people that are on a certain frequency that can feel, you know, vibrations. These are vibrations.
Yes.
They come from one place to another, stage to the audience, or from a speaker to your ears, you know. That sense of, you know, that we all have of hearing is very important in terms of being able to feel the music. And when you're in a concert, you're using both senses, your vision, your seeing, and your hearing. And so it's even more important. I believe that, you know, recordings are great, but the live concerts of these artists, to see the professionalism, to see the talent, you know, that these musicians have to be able to, you know, tour and work within the industry they love, the career that they chose, and master it. Obviously, the musicians you hear, you know, they're not just musicians you just pick up. These are the best that you can get in Puerto Rico. So I'm very proud to know a lot of them. You know, like I said, some of the guys that were in Hasta Cumbres, Papo Vasquez on trombone. At that time, we had Eric Figueroa on bass, Eric Figueroa on piano. He was the band leader. Nestor Torres on flute. I don't know if you listened to that flute on the last tune.
I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's soul in it, you know, and, Nestor's an incredible, you know, very spiritual human being. I became friends with him years ago. So, you know, that's kind of like what I wanted to share with your audience, you know, to see if, you know, they were able to enjoy or feel the music, even though the language could be a barrier and even taking note of this particular area of music, the tropical Latin music industry or the tropical Latin dance music industry. You know, when we say Latin dance, there's a few other dances like bachata, which is kind of a Dominican Republic kind of, you know, cultural dance. It became an urban bachata sound, and Romeo Santos and Prince Royce, who I worked with, these guys are very, very, very successful. They write their own music, so they sing, you know, and they tour and have, you know, millions of dollars, you know, from zero, from living in the project or living in a tenement apartment in New York, in the Bronx. They've become international superstars by just singing bachata. So, but salsa, you know, in particular, was Puerto Rico, and then New York, and then the world. So, I've been honored and blessed to meet a lot of the musicians and the artists, not only, you know, at concerts and in the recording studio, but become friends with many of them, and still friends with them now, and miss some of the ones that are gone, like Latin jazz artists like Hilton Lewis and Dave Valentin, and obviously Tito Puente, you know, so, and, you know, singers that I worked with from Cuba. We have tapped into the soneras from Cuba, but Celia Cruz, may she rest in peace. You know, we're going to see the first Cuban-American, an Afro-Cuban-American, with her image on U.S. currency. They're going to mint quarters, a quarter of a dollar, a quarter coin,
mm-hmm.
with the image of Celia Cruz. It'll be they're minting them to be released in 2024. And,
okay.
You know, for people like me, you know, I mean, you know, what do we have there? George Washington? I didn't know George Washington. You know, I was 17. But I knew Celia Cruz. So that you know, it kind of like, wow, I've been blessed, you know, but God has blessed me to have, you know, these people, you know, call me by my first name and call me up and tell me and work with them at shows and produce shows for them and book them and know their husbands and be with them on concert too. So, you know, these are just wonderful God, people with God-given talent that will, you know, follow their dreams and were there to entertain for the public and the audience that that they loved, and the love was returned by, you know, buying tickets to their concerts and buying their recordings and you know, making them popular within the
right.
Latin music industry. So yes, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, we have a lot more music
mm-hmm.
coming up. Want to give people
okay.
the call-in number if they have any comments or.
The call-in number here is 323-642-1586. And push the number 1 if you have a question or a comment. We have Eddie Rodriguez here who's been in the business, knows the business, and we're listening to some great salsa and Latin jazz music. So we're going to get back into the vibes here.
Parido nostalgia por no verte ya y haciendo el amor te he nombrado sin quererlo yo porque en todas busco lo salvaje de tu sexo amor hasta en sueño he creído tenerte devorándome y he mojado mis sábanas blancas recordando. mojado mis sábanas cansadas.
Tiene tu nombre enredado.
rosa que vivimos tú y yo. Aquella flor, aunque el beso te la dio, son viejos momentos que se olvidan con el tiempo y mueren sin una razón. Ha sido imposible sacarte de mi ser. Llevo grabados tus deseos en mi piel y en cada parte mía y en el silencio más profundo escucho tu voz.
¿Está Melissa?
Padre, como de costumbre, me ha dado porque tú me olvides. Sé que yo no soy bueno para ti. Te ha prohibido mencionar mi nombre, sufres todo lo que sufres, alejándote de mí, Él es mí. Tiene más de quererte como yo te quiero, regalarte una flor y vivir para ti, consolar a tu alma si busca consuelo en mí. Tiene más de amarte como yo te amo, caminar de tu mano, morir para ti, refugiarte en un mundo de amor inventado por mí. ¿Será acaso
guardaba para ti. Te ha prohibido mencionar mi nombre, aunque sufras todo lo que sufres, alejándote de mí, él es feliz. ¿Quién va a quererte como yo te quiero? Regalarte una flor y vivir para ti. En un mundo de amor inventado por el mundo. ¿Será acaso que él jamás se enamoró? Que a mis años nunca tuvo un amor. ¿Qué hay de malo en mi amar? ¿Qué hay de malo en sentir? ¿Qué hay de malo en ser joven y vivir? ¿Qué hay de malo en soñar? ¿Qué hay de malo en reír?
are spotlighting Puerto Rico salsa and Latin jazz artist with Eddie Rodriguez.
Wow,
who have we been listening to? That was great, wasn't it?
I wanted to mention on the first set we had a great, the late Marvin Santiago, who's also a singer in Puerto Rico. You know, we've been showcasing a lot of singers. And once again, you know, some of them are soneros. You know, people like Lalo Rodriguez or Paquito Guzman, or, you know, these are soneros. You know, versus the salsa singers that had the words, you know, for that segment where they improvise, but they're not really improvising. It's not coming from the heart. They're not making it up like some of these soneros do. That's the difference between them. And sometimes it's hard to you know, distinguish one from the other. But once again, you know, we're trying to show from a point of view of art. And we just heard some really great music from that era of romantic salsa. We started off with the late Lalo Rodriguez. He had a real, you know, incredible opportunity when he came up when he joined the Eddie Palmieri Orchestra for an album called Un Dia Bonito, The Son of Latin Music, Eddie Palmieri. And that album won a Grammy. That was when everybody knew the voice of Lalo Rodriguez, the late Lalo Rodriguez. Once again, a sonero is, you know, the difference between him and other salsa singers were that he had the ability to improvise, not have something written down for him to sing, you know, verses, so to speak. But, you know, made up the music. In essence, you know, some of these soneros were songwriters because they added to the song, because a lot of them were not given credit as songwriters. They were artists that did the lead vocals, and, you know, they did that to embellish a song, so to speak. That's the way it was, you know, categorized in the industry. They weren't given credit. Like arrangers, you know, arrangers weren't given any credit, any royalties. They weren't paid royalties for what they contributed to making the song sound hot, you know, which is incredible. They took ballads and created a salsa arrangement, or, you know, a danceable arrangement to this song. So, you know, but some, you know, Lalo Rodriguez was the late Lalo Rodriguez. And then we heard Eddie Santiago. Once again, Eddie Santiago was, you know, a singer of that time that was, you know, recording what they called salsa erotica, or romantic salsa. And, you know, it didn't pick up on the radio stations. They didn't want to play this music in Puerto Rico or New York or any of Miami, because they thought it was not, you know, it was too erotic. I wish they would see what hip hop is like today, you know.
And, right, really, yeah.
You know, but Eddie Santiago, he's still around. Lalo is gone. Eddie Santiago is still around. And we heard Paquito Guzman, another sonero, with a song called Cinco Noches. Once again, the arrangement, his voice, the way that he delivers the improvisational part, you know, of the song. You know, he was a great singer, very much beloved by people, traveled the world, loved in Latin America, like you don't know. Then after that, we heard Willie Gonzalez. I've never worked with Willie Gonzalez. I don't know what his status is today, but that song, you know, was a hit song during the time of that romantic salsa music coming out of Puerto Rico in particular. Not any other part of Latin America. This is coming directly out of Puerto Rico, and that's why I wanted to create a show to showcase that particular style on this set. Mm-hmm. And we I then had Jerry Rivera. Jerry Rivera started singing. He's still active. He started singing salsa when he was 16 years old. He was blessed by having some great personal artistic managers that were able to put him in places where they have put huge artists of the Latin tropical salsa music industry, like the great Hector Lavoe. Well, I didn't play tonight. You know, we've heard Hector before. But these are artists that I've in another shared with you and your audience just to give you a taste of what that time was like, what the feeling was at that time. It was a little slower. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that you know, mambo craze of the 50s and 60s that eventually turned into salsa. But that mambo craze in the 50s, you know, was you know, a music that was danced by every race that you can imagine, you know, from Jews to Italians, African Americans, Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans. And the big thing about that was dancing. And, you know, they competed and they were able to come out of that. My uncle, may rest in peace, and his wife, may she rest in peace. My uncle teaches, and his wife, Josephine, met dancing. And so I have cousins that are really African-American that grew up in African-American neighborhoods and, you know, who met, you know, at a dance club dancing Latin music. Then the last number was the great Nodo Morales. You know, this is getting into kind of a Latin jazz thing, but, you know, danceable. Once again, instrumental, no vocals, you know, just instrumental. Great pianist who was able to compose great music for that time, you know, the 40s, the 50s, and very popular in New York. So that wraps up that set, and we're getting close to wrapping up the show. So, Beverly, I want to thank you once again for inviting
me to the
program and your audience for listening. And I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to look at legendary Puerto Rican bands or orchestras that have toured the world, from the Gran Combo, Sonora Ponceña, Willie Rosario, Mulense, and so many more that, you know, Roberto Ruena and his Apollo Sound. You know, there's so many. Alberto Santiago, another sonero, a female sonera by the name of Yolanda Rivera, which you didn't hear any females tonight. So next week we'll have some of that. Once again, thank you, and I'm looking forward to next week.
All right. Well, thank you, and I'm looking forward too, and better love. Thank you for the music.
Better love to you and to everyone listening. A big shout out to my wife, Brenda, and my son, Eddie, who are on the road, and wishing the best on their vacation.
All right. Thank you again. Thank you. Better love.